I never get tired of the Word of God. Every time I get fearful, I go back to God's Word. And we're coming back to some scripture that should be familiar to you. I want you to turn with me to the words of Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25 and 26 for a little while today. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. And they begin to ask the Lord some questions, and questions that we're still asking over 2,000 years later. Lord, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming? Amen. These questions are asked of people in that generation. They're being asked of people in our generation who are spiritually savvy. People that are not asking those questions have a questionable faith, because anyone who knows anything about the faith that was once delivered to the saints knows that in that faith there is an emphasis on the soon coming of Jesus Christ and the conditions that would lead up to His absolute coming back again for His church. Amen? The true faith had that element in it. And the Bible said, whoever has this hope purifies himself. Amen? When we used to live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, people lived close to God. People embraced a holy life. Amen? They were not as materialistic. It doesn't mean that we don't need a nice home. And if you have a nice home, we rejoice with you. I consider that we have a nice home. Amen. It's 1,250 square feet. So we need closet space sometimes. And we have to go through our clothes and find out what we have worn in the last year. It's nice to have a problem of too many clothes for a small closet. Yeah. Amen. A lot of people in the world don't have that problem. Yeah. Amen. If you've got a problem with where to put all your shoes, then you ought to be grateful. That's an excellent problem to have, because there are people not far from here that in the United States, and some in the United States, that only have one pair. There are people that have none in Haiti and Jamaica and where we visited. And we're so grateful to have a problem with where to put our shoes sometimes. Amen? Our problems, they would trade problems with us any day. We don't have a huge home, and it may be that the Lord will give us a bigger home someday. It doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because I have contentment with what I have, and that makes me a very rich man. There's a lot of people living in a house that is so beautiful, so comfortable, so wonderful, but it is not lived in with contentment and peace. Amen. Amen. And if it doesn't have contentment and peace, how can you possibly enjoy it? I know people that are gritting their teeth. They're literally filled with anxiety or anger or whatever. People that are bickering and don't have peace with each other, don't have peace with God or the peace of God. I wouldn't trade what I have with them for anything that they have materially. I wouldn't trade peace. In fact, I wouldn't trade peace for a palace. Amen. What would the palace be good for without peace? Amen. I heard one man say something one time. He is richest who has fewest wants. Amen. And it led me to a message. That statement led me to a message, a Bible-based statement, based on being delivered from the prison of want. Can you say amen? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen. There are people that have enough money that they don't want in the material sense for anything. They don't want for anything materially. But inside, amen, they're always wanting something else or something more. And you look at what they have, maybe good looks. I mean, you know, they have great looks. They have great careers. They have prominence. They have all of these things. And then you see them with this discontent, and you're wondering what could possibly be wrong with them. Well, the Bible's clear about what's wrong with them. What's wrong with them is what's wrong with a large portion of the church today. Amen. We're not finding what we need in Jesus Christ within. If you don't have peace within, nothing you gain without is ever going to satisfy your soul. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea. That means the stormy sea, the storm-driven sea, whose waves cast up mire and dirt. The churning of the waters above is so intense, it begins to affect that is underneath those waters, and it casts up mire and dirt and silt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Amen. If it's a peace that comes synthetically through alcohol or drug abuse, it is not true peace. Amen. Being comfortably numb means I've got enough drugs in my system, amen, to take away the pain or the hurt or the pressure of life, and I can just sit here in a drug stupor. That is not peace. That is bondage and deception. And Jesus came, amen, as the Prince of Peace. He came to set people free from everything that blinded us and bound us. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're living in the last days. They say, what's it going to be like? And Jesus begins to answer these questions in verse 25 and 26 of Luke 21. And he said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth and upon the earth and upon the earth and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. We're not talking about... This is in the context of nations. If you remember, in the book of Revelation, a metaphor is used for the nations of the world, the peoples of the earth. And out of the sea came this beast. The sea meaning all of the people and nations of the world, the peoples that populate the earth. Out of those peoples came this Antichrist or this false prophet or this false leader out of the sea. So when it says the sea and waves trouble, he just got through saying distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. The wicked are like what? The troubled sea whose waters do what? That roaring sea cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my... We're not talking about the tsunami here that hit Indonesia. We're talking about a condition in the peoples of the earth because of the wickedness and sinfulness. They're pursuing peace through every possible avenue that is offered them by sin and Satan and never, ever finding it. Now, if that was just relegated to the world, we would know. They need to know Christ. Amen. But it's happening in the church in many, many circles. I believe the emphasis on materialism that has crept into the church. And that doesn't mean that God don't want to. Listen, folks, if God gives you a luxury automobile, rejoice and drive it. Hallelujah. But if you don't have peace in your heart, you're poor. Amen. I was going to say poor. Amen. Somebody said to me at work, Reb, are you ready to go to work? I said, no, but I'm poor. I'm rich in Jesus Christ, but I do need to work. I do need a payday. How many in this room still need a payday or a check? Amen. Let me see your hand again. You still need a check. Hallelujah. Best response I've had in the entire service so far. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it was one. I don't get 100% for hardly anything I ask. Amen. But when I said, how many need a check, it's... Well, let me give you some good news. Here's the good news. George W. is sending you a check. The check is in the mail Monday if you have direct deposit, is what they said. Monday. Where's that offering tray? Hallelujah. Amen. They got theirs. Oh, man. Well, God is good. Listen, folks, here's the thing. God wants to bless us. God will bless us. God has blessed us. We're living in America where people compare and compete. Amen. But if we compare with the other nations of the world, where you're living right now, amen, is a blessing. Can you say amen? What you're driving right now is a blessing. What you're wearing right now is a blessing. What you're going to eat today is such a blessing. Can you say amen? We're a blessed people compared to the nations of the world. Now, if you compare what you have to what someone who lives in the Hollywood Hills have, you may feel deprived of something. Can you say amen? There are churches that compete and compare. Amen. There are people that compete and compare. Amen. But listen to me. If you have Jesus today, and you have peace in these troubled times, and you're sustaining hope in these troubled times, and you're looking at everything through the lens of His soon coming, and you know the world is not going to self-destruct, and you know that the ozone layer is not going to deteriorate and we're all going to get skin cancer and die a horrifying death, and you know that the ice isn't going to melt before Jesus comes and flood the entire planet, and yes, these are all legitimate concerns, but you get out of that fear mode and you move back into your faith and you interpret what you are seeing upon the earth right now as a sign of His soon coming, and you get a rejoicing spirit even in troubled times. Can you say amen? There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The word perplexity is a very simplistic word. It means puzzlement in the Greek. Puzzlement. It means we have all of these issues, and we have all of these world leaders and all of these leaders of nations and all of the great thinkers of the earth. And we're looking at these issues and we cannot come up with viable solutions. Amen. There's a lot of rhetoric out there, and we're in election time. Everybody promises to solve all of our problems. That's how you get elected. You don't get elected on saying, you know, I really don't know what to do about the gas price. I don't have a clue what can be done with all the red tape and all of the laws that come into play, and all of with China emerging as a major, you know, used to China, you thought of a lot of people out in rice paddies, you know, and now they're making, well, the toys that have come in, and all the Walmart gets a whole bunch of its product. Look at the bottom about anything you got. It's got them. Amen. It says made in China, made in China, made in China, made in China, made in China. And they're driving now. They're not riding little donkeys around or bicycles. They're riding motor scooters, motorcycles, automobiles. Can you say, man, they are an emerging industrial power, very strong. As a matter of fact, their money is worth more on the world market than the dollar is right now. That's an incredible emergence of this nation into the industrial community. Well, their demand on resources is so strong because there's millions of people over there, and they're starting to drive automobiles like us. Amen. They're starting to prosper as a nation. And because of the industrialization of that once mainly agriculturally driven economy, now they're building factories and making all kind of products. So now they're demanding fuel, and so the gas is being drunk up by the nations of the world, and now we're scratching our head about alternate energy supplies. But while we're scratching our heads, did I say puzzlement, perplexity, distress of nations, problems that seem insurmountable, and people trying desperately to figure them out, but not able to come to any viable solutions? Are we there? Do we fit that profile? Amen. Globally? Upon this earth, this will be a global thing. This is not just in a single nation. This is a global circumstance. Whoever gets to be president in the next term has an awesome responsibility. And only God can truly turn any of this around. We need a revival in America.
Amen.
We haven't dealt with sin issues. We haven't dealt with heart issues. We've just dealt with faith issues in the material world for so long in the church that we're so far from a true revival. Amen. Revival is not a guest speaker that people love to hear speak.
Amen.
Amen. Revival is when the Holy Spirit, amen, moves into your life, where Jesus is Lord of your life, where everything, amen, revolves around Christ as the center of your life. Amen. And you don't have a problem anymore with following Him and obeying Him. And you enjoy peace with God and thereby the peace of God. And when you enjoy the peace of God, you have something the world can't touch. Can you say amen? You become rich comparatively. The sea and waves roaring. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up. Do you see the metaphor that Jesus is using? The nations of the world, the peoples of the world, the unrest. And to show you, it's all in the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Al Gore, I think, got a Nobel Prize and got an Oscar, I think, nomination for a film that I did not see about global warming. Amen. Because he was talking about the things that are what? Coming upon the earth. Amen. All of the conditions that are bringing these cataclysmic events toward the earth. Is the ozone layer breaking down? Yes, it is. Amen. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said the sun would become hotter than normal. Literally, the way John explained it was, amen, that it would become so hot that it would scorch men and sores would appear on them. We're not talking about sunburn. We're talking about skin cancer, infrared. He couldn't describe that, but he described what he saw. He saw a sun up there, and he saw something happening to people as a result of its rays. Amen. And sores begin to come on bodies. And one of the things that's happening where these holes are, in the ozone, that little thin layer that encapsulates, we're in a fragile planet here. Can you say, man, that little thin layer that's deteriorating called the ozone layer, wherever those little holes, those openings are starting to let more and more infrared rays through, there is a great increase of skin cancer in that area, amen, comparatively before that began to happen. John saw, listen, the things that are coming upon the earth, amen. One of these days, do you know they're developing right now? Developing meteor? They're trying to get weapons somehow that could break up a small asteroid before, because sooner or later, they say this planet is going to be in the path of an asteroid. Amen. And it don't take a very big one to cause terrible devastation in the earth. They think that might be one of the reasons the dinosaurs ceased to exist. It's not just an ice age, but an asteroid that hit and destroyed and changed things. But at any rate, amen, John in the book of Revelation, listen, they're developing weapons right now to try to break up. There have been sci-fi movies about this. This is not science fiction. They say if one is on course for the earth, and it strikes, it's going to be worse than like 10,000 atomic weapons, the devastation. And they're developing weapons of missiles, something to hit it, try to break it up. Incredible. They're preparing for what the Bible said is actually going to happen. John said, I saw a star. He didn't know what asteroid from a star, from anything else. He didn't know all of this stuff. But he said, I saw something look like a star fall out of heaven, and it fell into the sea, and it killed a third part of everything that lived in the sea. Can you say, amen? During the tribulation period. So these events, God doesn't have to just supernaturally make them. He just has to, all he has to do, you know all God has to do? All he has to do is remove his covering of grace from this planet. If God removed his covering of grace from America, you know what will happen? America won't be great anymore. When he took it off of Rome, Rome was... It doesn't matter what great nation. When he removed it from Babylon, they fell. No nation has ever lived in sin and rebellion against God and continued to prosper. No matter how great, rich, wealthy, intelligent they were, they all crumbled. Every civilization crumbled. Thing that people fail to understand is judgment. You don't do wrong today and judgment fall tomorrow. There's a scripture about that in the book of Ecclesiastes that said, because God doesn't immediately judge sin, man's heart is fully set in him to sin. But then he went on to say, though a sinner sin 100 times and still prosper, yet it will be well with them that choose righteousness. But not for them that sin. Sooner or later, it's going to come. Judgment falls. Someone put it this way. The wheels of God turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. God is not mocked. We do reap what we sow. It will eventually happen. And the tribulation is a reaping. It's a clear reaping, amen, of what man has sown in terms of rebellion. Amen. Water turns to blood. Water is literally turned to blood. And the angel said, this is right and requisite judgment. The blood of the innocent has been shed. Gallons and gallons of blood has been shed of the innocent. So let these bloodthirsty people drink blood. It's the law of sowing and reaping. We're using abortion as a form of birth control. If anyone has had an abortion, it's a forgivable sin, but it is a sin. Amen. We don't call anything sin anymore from pulpits in America. And we just let it go. God doesn't let it go. Amen. Can you say amen? That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need our sins forgiven. Amen. We've got whole church groups that don't even want to use the word sin in their preaching because we've got one great church in California, great church in terms of size and significance. Amen. Given credibility by so-called spiritual leaders. Amen. That is teaching that man's problem is not a sin problem. His problem is a low self-esteem problem. And that is their direct, distinct teaching. And they're on television this morning. And tens of thousands of people like it because, amen, I just have a self-esteem problem and God wants to bring me out of my low. No, you have a pride problem and God resists the pride, but He gives grace to the humble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what gives me worth today? My sins have been forgiven. I have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ today. Amen. I don't need to feel good about myself because of how I look. Thank the good Lord. Or how tall I am. Thank the good Lord. Can you say amen? I don't have to be as tall as this man over here to feel good about myself. I don't have to compete with Hollywood. I don't have to dye my hair, which is the only thing keeping me from looking like Brad Pitt. Can you say amen? I mean, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. My worth comes from the fact that all of my sins, not the half but the whole, have been cleansed and taken away by the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I wasn't redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but the precious blood of a Lamb without spot and without blemish. And I'm part of that little flock that He said distinctly and directly, when the whole world's hearts is failing them for fear, looking at what's coming upon the earth. Amen. When you see those things begin to come to pass, you get a spirit of holy anticipation. Be filled with peace and power. For when you see these events begin to transpire, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That means Christ is coming. He's going to take people from this planet. Now, some people believe we're going to go through the tribulation because they're not separating the scriptures to the church concerning the bride and the groom to Israel as a nation. Some things apply prophetically to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is going through that terrible period, and there is at a last trump when He will come and stand upon Mount Olivet. But the church has another scenario taking place. Amen. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another, comfort one another, comfort one another with these words. That means the message of His soon coming is to be the message of comfort in a troubled time that marks the last day. Amen? Amen? Amen. No comfort in thinking that, what's going to happen? The Bible said an earthquake's going to come during the tribulation if we're supposed to be here. Amen. Then an earthquake is going to shake the earth, and it's going to shake it so hard that not only that, the heavens evidently are going to shake. Such stars are going to fall like untimely figs. That means green figs that are not ready to fall off the tree. Amen. Amen. But it's going to shake so hard that green figs will be torn from the tree, and every island in the sea will be removed. There won't be an island remaining. The tidal waves that accompany that earthquake will dissolve every island in the ocean. There's Christians in Hawaii. There's Christians in other places of the earth. There's Christians down in the Philippines. Amen. Christians in Jamaica, Haiti. There's an island nation. How's He going to deal with that? He's dealt with it. He's going to evacuate them. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's going to evacuate them.
Amen.
He says, you know, all this is coming. You've got to be evacuated. Well, how do you know that? Well, where are you going to go? Amen. Hailstones are going to rain out of heaven that weigh 96 pounds. When they become big as tennis balls, you can be killed. Cattle can be killed. Your car glass can be shattered.
Amen.
These are going to weigh 96 pounds. Falling from, they tell you, don't go around. Be careful outside during the 4th of July celebration. Any celebrations with fireworks, because some people say, you know, I can fire my weapon. It'll blend in with the fireworks. And I don't have any firecrackers. So, you know, especially in Plant City, everybody's got a gun. Amen. And that. So, well, Tampa too, you know, anyway, but everybody's got a gun. I sit in there at lunch where everybody's talking about their guns, and we're getting bigger guns and badder guns and better guns. But anyway, some people shoot up in the air. Bam, 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 bam. Well, they tell you, don't shoot up in the air, doofus. Can you? There's a law of physics. There's a law of gravity that what goes up must
come down.
Can you say, man? So shoot into the, and don't shoot into the concrete or something that'll ricochet. Find some soft dirt, shoot into the dirt. Bang, 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 bang. But, you know, inevitably people say, bang, 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 bang. Oh, I got to shoot my gun in town. Nobody knows it. Amen. But the problem is, it's going to come down. And someone measured the velocity of a bullet that not from the powder that drove it up, but just from the fall coming down. From the height that it was driven, it begins to pick up momentum as it comes down. Can you imagine a piece of ice? The size weighing 96 pounds. And this is not just a singular. This is a hailstorm of 96 pounds. This roof wouldn't, you couldn't get under this table and expect it. It's going to crash upon the earth. Sections of the earth will have that kind of cataclysmic event. The book of Revelation is very clear. The whole earth is going to be affected of what happens during the tribulation.
Amen.
There will be no safe place down here. In fact, to tell you the honest truth this morning, there's no safe place down here outside of Christ right now.
Amen.
The only true safety
Amen.
Is in Him. Men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. A lot of things in space affect a lot of things on this planet. And when things begin to change cosmically, we're going to see changes here. Fear in the Greek here is fear that which strikes terror, the word that's used for fear here. It's not just the normal concerns we have. It's fear that strikes terror. Everybody say fear that strikes terror. We've got a word floating around that marks our society right now, and that's terrorism. Terrorist. Amen. Right after 9/11, there was fear that they would strike again. And it brought people into a sense of that their security. By the way, fearful times involve finances. Amen. It involves our finances.
Amen.
Amen. The people are getting fearful right now about the future because, the gas is going on up. Nobody has a solution. Perplexity is here. What are we going to do if it keeps going up? What are we going to give up? What are we going to keep? How is church and the Lord's work going to figure into our budgets? You think we might find peace within and maybe having food and raiment in Christ, we could get back to finding contentment
Amen.
Enough in Him
Amen.
That even if we don't have as much materially, we actually have more spiritually and we're richer in the end
Amen.
Because we find out what's really important in our life.
Amen. You know,
I read about it, and God wants to bless you materially. Don't get me wrong. He just wants your spirit first. He wants
Amen.
That peace within. He wants that joy within. He wants that place within your heart. I heard of a lawyer. Well, I met a guy. First, I met a guy in Atlanta. We were on our way to the Smoky Mountains, and we had one of the old video cameras that you had this big battery. You strap on the big battery, you know, and you walk like this with it while taking pictures, you know. And after a while, you do. And something went wrong with it. Before we got to the mountains, we wanted to chronicle this trip. We love those mountains. Amen. We're both from the mountains. She's a coal miner's daughter from Harlan County, Lynch, Black Mountain, coal mining. When they wrote that song, they wrote it about Pamela, I think. But anyway, amen. She is a coal miner's daughter. And I'm from Kentucky, too, originally. But we were on our way back to those mountains. We wanted to chronicle our trip. And we had a problem with our video camera. And so we stopped at a little place by the road. And there was a guy in there, and he used to sell insurance, I believe, in Atlanta, in one of the big work for one of the big insurance companies, or not sell it, but be part of the corporate, you know, offices and all in Atlanta. And he said, you know, my wife and I had this beautiful townhouse, and we had all this and we had that. Now they got this little shop, you know, and they probably got them a little place like they're going to go to, amen, up there, a little cabin somewhere or something, amen. He said, hitting that freeway every day, trying to get to work, having to fight it to get home, barely having time on the weekend to even get rested before you started again. He said, we had all these things. Both of us working, and we had achieved all of these things, but said, you know, we stopped and took an honest look. Are we enjoying what we have? And the answer came up, no, we're not. So we sold everything we got. We got this little place. And now he's tinkering with video cameras. He likes that kind of stuff. He was able to get us going, I think, for a little while with our video camera. And I thought, well, that guy has reassessed what's really important in life. Amen. So just because you see somebody driving that Porsche or Porsche, I don't know, how do you pronounce that? Depends on how rich you are. Yeah, if you're yeah, if you just won the lotto, it's a Porsche. It's a Porsche. But if you know what it's, I think it is technically a Porsche, and I always called it a Porsche, but it's a Porsche. No, I mean just to all of yeah. Everybody heard about the rich dad in a ritzy community that wanted to get his daughter to learn how to work and make a living. And she was going to college, said, you're going to have to pay part of your tuition. And said, but everybody else is paying, you know. And she's, you know. And she says, but honey, you've got to learn the value of things. You've had everything handed you. I want you to find a job this summer, and I want you to make some of the money for your tuition. It doesn't matter how much you make, but you've got to contribute part of it. Amen. So she went to a guy's house in the neighborhood and said, do you have any work you need done? I'm trying to work my way through college. And he said, yeah, I'd like my porch painted. She said, what color do you want it painted? Said, I'd like it painted green, hunter green. And she said, all right. Said, and here's the money for the paint. And he gave him money. She went down to the hardware store, got hunter green paint, exterior paint, got a brush, got a roller, was doing fine, came back. Amen. And she worked outside, and for a while the smell of paint was coming in, and the guy said, she must be doing a good job. She's been out there for 3 hours, and after about 3.5 hours, she came in, had a little paint stain, about 100 green paint on her, and she said, come and see how you like it. And the guy walked outside, and his car was hunter green, and said, what have you done to my Porsche? And she said, I thought you said Porsche. Gets weird out there. Don't know if that's true or not, but it could happen. This is America, particularly in California. Can you say amen? We have such an emphasis. Right now in the church, there's a culture that is not talking about the soon coming of Jesus. Amen. They're not mentioning it. It's if he's not even coming again. Amen. We're so occupied, preoccupied with the material and the physical. And God cares about that. Your Father knows what you have need of. Speaking of material and physical, he's not turning a blind eye and doesn't want you to. But your primary concern, Jesus said, is to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And all these things will be added unto you. We have a real revival. God is going to let it work from this spiritual awakening. All to every part of your life will be affected, but it doesn't start with the outside. It starts with the inside. And it starts with that peace that gives you confidence to live in the last days and look at everything through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And the worse it gets and the more end time scenarios that you hear, the more you say, my King is coming very soon. Can you say, I want to live close to Him and I want to find all my contentment in Him. All my treasures are in You. Jesus Christ. Amen. Give Him praise in this room today. We're getting ready to close. Listen to this. Before Ann Landers died, Ann Landers was an agony aunt in a tabloid newspaper. And she confessed that every single month that she would write in this agony aunt slot, she would receive 10,000 letters every month. When she was asked on one occasion, what was the subject that predominated all of your letters? What was the problem and the burden and the anxiety that most people wrote to you about? She had no hesitation in answering the question. She said, without one second of thinking about it, quote, there is one subject that predominates it all. It is the subject of fear. Almost every letter that I receive, the root problem, the root diagnosis, the bottom and at the bottom of it all is the problem of fear. The problem of fear. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University reported that 30 years ago, the greatest fears of grade school children were, number one, animals. They were afraid a dog would bite them. Number two, being in a dark room. That scared kids. You know, there's a monster under the bed or whatever. Number three, 30 years ago, high places. I'm afraid of being way up somewhere and falling. Number four, Johns Hopkins University came up with this from interviewing thousands of kids. Strangers. They were taught to be strangers. They might, you know, stay away from strangers. And number five, loud noises. Scary when you hear this sonic boom or some loud noise. Today, 30 years forward, number one fear, divorce. Afraid my parents are going to leave one another and our life is going to be disrupted. Number two, nuclear war. Number three, cancer. Number four, Johns Hopkins University study, pollution. The air we're breathing is bad. We'll get something and we'll die. Number five is being killed in a drive-by or during a robbery. 30 years has changed. The fear factor has intensified. I believe attention deficit disorder is linked to being distracted by fears. I believe there's a link to that. Because years ago, we didn't hear about it hard. We had a comic do a routine, and he said, you know, my mother had a solution for ADT. Got my attention. That was the end of it. That's not the answer. This goes deeper than that. Our kids today have more to fear than when you grew up and I grew up. I carried a Roy Rogers lunchbox that I wish I owned to sell on eBay right now. I could buy me several tanks of gas on a Roy Rogers lunchbox in good condition. Old toys are big money right now because most people threw them away and really they're worth a lot right now. Collectors love those things. Nostalgia takes you back to a more peaceable time. Amen? And it's a far cry from a Roy Rogers lunchbox. Amen? Now, I believe eventually we're going to have metal detectors where our kids, we already have officers on the campus. Can you say, man, armed officers on the campuses? It's reminding our kids, you are not safe in school. Come on. They just caught a guy, straight A student. Amen. Getting the paraphernalia together to make bombs and wanted to blow up as many people as he could in his school and then kill himself. Straight A student. Men's hearts will fail them for fear and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. You know what people want to do today? They don't want to just kill themselves. They don't want to just take their own life. I mean, suicide is up, But you know what they want to do? They want to kill as many people as they can and then take their own life. There's something terribly wrong in the culture that keeps pushing God out where the conscience no longer... I mean, it's consciousness. They don't even have to have a grudge against you. This is not just mean people wanting to get anybody. These are people that are so deranged, they're so under the influence of evil, they want to kill as many people as they can before they kill themselves. And if this was an aberration, if this was a one-time event, it would be horrendous, but it is a continuous thing. And people are still plotting to do the same thing. And they keep unfolding plots. And sooner or later in America, it's going to happen again. And nothing's going to stop it. Amen? So, what is the message today? Revival, so God can cover us with His wings. Reconstitute a conscience within people. The Bible said one thing that happened to men in the last days, their conscience would be seared as a hot iron. The word seared is cauterized. It means I can do things that are evil and wicked and hurtful and not have anything put me in check. There's no evil I can imagine that I'm not capable of doing because there's no conscience to stop me. One thing about the law, the Ten Commandments, it caused the conscience to operate. It stimulated the conscience. Thou shalt not is something we don't want in our society, but we desperately need.
Amen.
What is wrong with thou shalt not kill? What is wrong with thou shalt not steal? What is wrong with some absolutes that we grow up with, that's instilled within us? Long before I became a Christian, there were things I just didn't do.
Amen.
The stress level is rising. Acute stress can produce changes in the heart that may lead to death, says Dr. Marilyn Sarolin of Cleveland and Charles Hirsch of Cincinnati. Here's what these two doctors recently identified in 15 cases in which people died after a physical assault. Although injuries alone would not have been enough to kill them, 11 of the 15 cases showed a type of heart cell death called myofibrillar degeneration, similar to a reaction in experimental animals who are helpless to anticipate or avoid danger. The reason fear will grip the world with such tenacity is because helplessness breeds hopelessness. When people feel helpless, then they become hopeless. I love what Ephesians 2:12 in closing said. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the... This is the before. Everybody say B.C.
B.C.
How many people in here have a B.C. before Christ? Amen.
Amen?
We don't want to go there this morning, but we all had that, didn't we?
Amen.
B.C., before Christ.
Amen.
Some guys were talking at work this past week, and they said something. How about you, Rev? Did you ever do that? I said, that was B.C. And I didn't have to explain that to them. They said, that was before Christ. I said, you got it. That was before Christ. That don't count anymore. I've been there, done that, yeah. But I don't want to go back there. Can you say amen? I love where I am now in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't want to go back to B.C. Hallelujah. And at that time, though, in B.C., before you were Christ, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That meant we had no right to claim covenant promises, but that has changed.
Amen.
Can you say amen? We're not strangers. We're not beggars looking for crumbs from the master's table. We've been grafted into the true vine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's what has changed. Hallelujah. Because we have God, no matter what the conditions are, we have hope. I told a few of you in the congregation Sunday night a story, or last Sunday morning after the service. I want to tell it to everybody as we close today. We have an old dog we talk about more than our grandchildren.
We know her better.
Sophie is her name. She came to our home for no other reason than to be loved on. She's just a big huggable dog that you like to just hug. Amen. Sometimes I think she wants to go to sleep and we're bothering her by hugging her and petting her, and she'd rather just go snore. But she's so sweet. She's got the most sweet disposition. But there's one thing that she is deathly afraid of. She is deathly afraid of rain and thunder, and even without the thunder. If it rains, that means it could thunder and it could lightning. So she's afraid of that. Sitting in my computer and it starts raining outside. Here comes this. At that time, she's lost weight. She's looking for a man. No, I'm just kidding. She's been spayed. She's not looking for a man. But anyway, she was 94 pounds. She's down to a swelt 87. Amen. She loses much more. You can just take her skin, pull it up. But anyway, she's an old dog, sweet old dog, sweet old lab and something mix. But she's sweet doggy. But she come barreling in to where I was sitting at the computer. And there's no room between my knees and the computer thing and all for her. But she pushes her way up in there until she's out. And then she lays down on my feet. I can't move. I'm stuck in this. This 94-pound dog is laying there to get away from the storm. And for some reason, I left the computer, left her laying under it, hidden, safe, hidden. You know, there's nothing could hurt her, harm her. And I had to go out to the shed for something, and I put the umbrella up, and I went through the rain to the storage shed, and I'm out in the storage shed wrestling around for something, and suddenly the screen door, I hear that screen to that screen room open, slam shut, and running through the rain is this big lab getting wet, and runs into that shed where there's hardly room for me to stand, and gets right next to my leg. And I realized her safety is not being in the house under the computer safety. Even if the storm that she fears so much is raging, her safety and security is being near her master. And if I'm in the middle of the storm, she wants to be where I am rather than to be safe in the house. I guess she figures a house could blow away, but if this guy here is still left standing, I'm going to be okay. She figured wrong about that. But let me tell you what the Lord just began to, he talks to me simply. He said, it's me in the last days. It's focusing on me. It's trusting in me. It's getting close to me that's going to dissolve and dissuade your fears. Yeah. Can you say amen in the last day? Even in the middle of the storm, trying to find safety in anything or anyone else is foolish and futile. But in Him we find our safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A name bestows a character and a nature. We have a God who is a Father to us. Can you say amen? And He told Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wings? Hallelujah. So you know what I want to do in these troubled times? I want to run to Him. I want to focus on Him. He is my supply. Can you say amen? He is going to take care of us somehow. He, hallelujah, the Father knows what you have need of. Get that spiritual center. Get that spiritual focus. Look at everything through the lens of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And know the peace that will separate us from the attitude of fear that's gripping the world and strip it into peace. We can know it. We can display it. Hallelujah. And what a witness it becomes when people see God's people looking at the same thing they are seeing, but interpreted in the light of His soon coming and drawing close to Jesus and say, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl keeping, my records bride watching both day and night. We used to sing it in almost every service. Hallelujah. We lived in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it didn't take much to make us happy. We were traveling light anyway. Amen. Can you say amen? God gives you a fine home. Enjoy it. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you don't focus on Jesus and draw close to Him, there's nothing God can give you without that can take the place of His peace within. How many realize that today? Nothing God can give you without. Then that can take the place of His peace within. The wicked will never find it, no matter what they acquire materially in this world. That's why it said, my son, in the book of Proverbs, let not thine heart envy sinners. Can you say amen? We don't need so much the riches of the Gentiles, but the Gentiles need our riches in Jesus Christ. Oh, you didn't hear me today. We don't need what Brangelina has. We don't need to acquire what Brad Pitt and Angelina have. They need what we have. Brad Pitt was interviewed recently and he said, people think if you're from Hollywood and you're a star and you've got wealth and you've got fame, that that's it. He said, I'm here to tell you that's not it. He said, and I don't even know what it is, but I'm still looking for it. And a whole lot of people I know are looking for it. Well, we know what it is. We know what He is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if you've never discovered what Christ can do, you need to find out that He can give you living water so that you never thirst again. Can you say amen? But He can't do it through dead religion, but only through a close personal relationship. Hallelujah. Woo! They need what I've got this morning. Bill Gates needs what I have. Brad Pitt needs what I have. Bono needs what I have. That's a lead singer for somebody. You too. But he needs what I've got. Al Gore needs what I got. Glory to God. Hillary needs what I've got. There's some preachers on television that need what I got. Because obviously they're not happy with what they have. Can you say amen? And they're not anticipating the soon coming of Jesus. They're not living in that holy anticipation. Amen. And to them that watch, He shall appear. Amen. And to them that watch. Amen. The true church. Hallelujah. Is alerted. The true church is looking. Hallelujah. The true church is watching. The true church is different than this old world. Can you say amen? Our roots are not deep in this earth. Our roots are deep in Him and His kingdom and His soon coming. Can you say amen? This is passing. Glory to God. We're not without God. Therefore, we're not without hope. In this present world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk maybe a little more about this out of Psalm 91, that great safety chapter in the Old Testament about the shadow of His wings. Not fearing the arrow that flies by day, the plague that wastes by noonday. Can you say, man, living in an end time condition without fear because we are covered, we're protected, we're provided for by our Heavenly Father. And before all of those things happen that there's no place to hide, He has planned an evacuation for His people. We call it the rapture of the church. Rapture is not in the Bible, neither is Trinity. But there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and there is a catching away. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this place. There is a catching away. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. God has planned an evacuation. Listen, oh, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. He said, if I'm going to send a judgment upon the earth, I have to provide for the righteous. Amen. Both of them escaped the judgment. Can you say amen? Why? Because they were righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have been made righteous in Jesus, through Jesus Christ's blood. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't it good? Don't you feel rich this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We used to sing that old song, He will calm the troubled waters of my soul. We just got to do that Jesus song again. I see Him coming. We just got to do that to close today. I want you focused on the soon coming of the Lord. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not the things on the earth. Amen. Jesus taught, lay up your treasure in heaven where the thief can't steal it, the rust can't corrupt it, nothing can touch it or harm it or take it and detract from it in any way. For where a man's treasure is, That's where his heart's going to be. And we need to turn our hearts toward home.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
We used to sing the old camp meeting hymn, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We are pilgrims and strangers. Peter said to those scattered believers in the early church, amen, under heavy persecution, "I beseech you, brethren, as pilgrims and strangers in the world, but not of it." Can you say amen? As pilgrims and strangers, amen, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Amen. God wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. And the wonderful thing about that is it don't take a lot to make you happy without, when you found that wonderful peace and joy within. Somebody give him praise in this room today. That's what sets us apart from the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Whom having not seen, we love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Will you stand to your feet today? God is good. Let's worship him before we leave.